Well, good morning and welcome to Cumber Free Presbyterian Church for, once again, our online ministry. Today is a very special day in the programme and history of our congregation. Generally, we have a Sunday each year whereby we have the Sunday school taking part and also the young adults in the evening time. Well, this is the Sunday that has been designated. Sadly, we're not able to have people present, although we do have them virtually present by our online social media ministry. And we're thankful to the men who work at the desk and here at Facebook on Sermon Audio. And we welcome you as a congregation, a community of God's people, and a fellowship who have been praying for us and encouraging us. So we warmly welcome you, and we also want to say a special word of thanks to those who will take part today virtually and will help us out with the Children's Day and also with the young adults meeting this evening. So you're very welcome to Cumber Free Church, and we trust you'll stay with us for the duration of the program and for the preaching of the Word of God. Let's just bow briefly in prayer and we'll commit our way to the Lord. Our gracious and our eternal loving Heavenly Father, it is with a thankful and a grateful heart that we approach Thee in our Saviour's great name. We rejoice that we can come before a God who is not so distant, but is only a prayer away. We thank Thee by faith we enter into heaven's court. We stand in the very presence of a holy God. Lord, it's unthinkable to think that holy angels and highest archangels and seraphims and cherubims veil their faces before Thee and cry, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And yet, Lord, as sinners saved by grace in our union with Christ, clothed in the righteousness of our blessed Saviour, robed in the garment of His so great salvation, washed in the blood of the Lamb, born of the Spirit, reconciled to God, we are accepted with Thee. And in our union with Christ, we sit in heavenly places. We have the right of approach into the presence of a holy God. Lord, it doesn't bear thinking about when we realize that Thou art a God who says that You're a consuming fire and that You dwell in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes. We recognize that Thou art holy and just and righteous and true. We realize, O God, that Thou art inflexible in Thy justice, and we are sinners. Lord, we are rebels from God. We are corrupt in our nature, depraved in our entire being. We fully recognize, O God, our own sin. And yet, Father, we thank Thee that by faith we come on the merit of the shed blood, on the ground of the finished work, with imputed righteousness given over to our account, and we stand complete in Christ. We have an audience with Thee, the right of approach before Thee, and we stand, O God, accepted in Thy sight. Lord, what a privilege, what an honor. There's nothing on earth to compare with it, nothing to compensate for the loss of it, and we rejoice that it's ours eternally in Christ Jesus, for He suffered, bled and died, and purchased for us such a standing, such a wonderful salvation. And we owe it all to the mediator between God and man. Lord, we think of how the Old Testament introduced that mediator, even through Moses and many others. We often read in Thy Word and we don't see Christ in it as often as we should. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel. Lord, You could have spoken to them Yourself, but You chose Moses to be a type of Christ, a mediator between God and man, to communicate the mind and will of God to the people. And we thank Thee, O God, and praise Thee for our Lord Jesus Christ, the only mediator between God and man. And we rejoice in Him. We pray that today we may know the nearer presence of our Savior, that we may know that we will be God conscious, that the Lord is in this place, and that even across the airwaves and through social media, on Sermon Audio and on Facebook, that the Lord will be honored and uplifted and glorified. And social media, there's so much evil and wickedness, we recognize it. And yet, Lord, here we are, and able, Lord, to put forth the pure Word of God, to give ministry to homes where, O God, people would not come to the church. Church, in that sense, can come to them. They can tune in without being present. They can have a little look as in curiosity of someday. And Lord, we believe that the Word of God is powerful. We believe it's living and it's able, O God, to convert convert the soul by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we ask, O God, you will bless the word today back at home. Burn it in and bless it to every heart. Remember especially, O God, this day that is thine, as we would remember, O God, the price that was paid not only for our own salvation, but we think, O God, of how thou hast preserved down the years thy special day, the Sabbath, the Lord's Day. And we ask that today we will have a high day in Zion, a day to remember. We remember the boys and girls as they've already done their pieces. We thank thee for the hard work they've put in. Thank thee for gifts and talents they have. And we thank thee, O God, that they are unashamedly Christian. And Lord, in a day when it's not popular to be a believer, to be born again, to tell people you're saved, and to be sure of heaven and have eternal life, and not to run to the world and to the nightclub and to live a holy and a clean and a pure life separated unto God. It's not a popular road, and yet we thank thee for boys and girls and young people in our own fellowship that are saved and are seeking to walk with God, and they're unashamedly Christian. Lord, we rejoice in that. When we're living in a day when people hide their light behind their back, they tuck it away under the bed, as Scripture says in the Sermon on the Mount. Lord, we recognize that here are young people who are letting their light shine before men, that they may see their good works and glorify their Father which is in heaven. So bless the young people, the children, the boys and girls. Encourage their hearts. And Lord, save them all. We really mean that. Save the little lambs of this flock. Have mercy on the next generation springing up. We can see perhaps even in them a fourth generation of believers. And we pray for them. Lord, each generation near the coming of the Lord, it's waxing worse and worse. And that last generation, which we feel we could be, or even these children will be, Lord, we fear, Lord, what a world they'll be growing up in. And we pray for exceptional grace for them, for help in the schoolroom, for help with their study, with their job and their seeking of employment, for help with guidance and direction for relationships later on in life. And we pray for wisdom for them and for their families as they bring them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. God, grant that the Spirit of God will keep them on the right path. Don't let them go into bypass meadow. Don't let them go astray. We pray they'll be those, O God, that will be in the majority rather than the minority, that are going on with God. How often it is that the majority who profess as children don't go on with God, and there's only a minority. Lord, change that. Make it to be the majority. Lord, why does it have to be the testimony whereby a young person saved as a child, backslides until their late 20s, then comes back to the Lord? We pray, Lord, that we will hear testimonies time and time again of young people who were saved and kept by the power of God through school, primary level, secondary, and into higher education, and even university, and then into the workplace or into the office or somewhere else. We pray that thou wouldst answer prayer. And from among them, we pray you'll call out a people for thyself. And Lord, separate from among even thine own people, Lord, young people for Bible college. Lord, we thank thee for gifting this congregation in Cumber, Lord, with individuals who are now serving the Lord in pulpits and on mission fields. And we rejoice in that. And we ask humbly that another generation springing up will far exceed what we've already had. And you'll call young men, young women into full-time service and send them into the harvest fields. And grant, Lord, you will reap a harvest from this congregation. Help us, therefore, to invest in them. Remember those who have the oversight. We thank thee for our brother Colin. We pray, Lord, as he is superintendent of the Sunday school, that you remember him and remember our teachers. We pray for them. And we pray, Lord, you'll give them help as they study the word, as they communicate that word to the boys and girls. Give them mercy and favor on the Lord's days as they instruct the young in the things of God. And may our young people be like young Timothy, from a child that has known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. So be with us now, and remember our young adults this evening. Lord, we humbly pray for thy blessing, thy presence, and thy power, and we ask that the word of the Lord will run today, have free course, and be glorified in all of our hearts. To this end, we pray for preparation of heart. We pray, Lord, for those that are listening and will hear later on, that thou wouldst prepare hearts for the reception of the word, and grant to me, O God, thy servant today, that which I crave, yearn, and desire, clean hands and a pure heart. I pray for a washing in the blood, for the cleansing power of Calvary's blood, for the Lamb's blood to be applied, and all of its, Lord, sufficiency, and all of its value and virtue, vitality and victory. May I enter into that merit and worth of the blood today and stand upon that blood by faith. For my cleansing, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This my pardon now, and this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And then, Father, the vessel cleansed by precious blood, come and infill with thy Spirit. We offer this our prayer, giving thanks now, in our Savior's precious and most worthy name. Amen and amen. Well, as we said to you, it is our Children's Day and our Young Adults' Day as well. We're delighted to have the superintendent of our Sunday school, our brother Mr. Colin McKee, is also an elder here in the church. He's going to welcome you all and introduce the program virtually. Thank you.
Well, as the Reverend Martin has said, we just want to take this opportunity today to welcome you to this special Children's Day service. Normally, on this Sunday every year, we would have the church filled to capacity with all the boys and girls and the young people and mothers and grannies and all the family members in to see the boys and girls taking part. But because of the COVID-19, this year we're unable even to do that. So rather than you all missing out on seeing and hearing what the boys and girls have done, we thought we would try and do it online so that you can see what the boys and girls have learnt even in the Sabbath school in the past year. We just want to thank the Lord today, first and foremost, for his hand upon the Sunday school, upon the children and upon the families, even of the church here since lockdown. The Lord truly has kept his hand upon us and kept us all safe and well, and we thank the Lord for that. I also want to thank all of the parents for sending their children out to Sunday school week by week up until the lockdown. We as teachers do count it a real joy and a real blessing to be able to teach the children from the Word of God Sunday by Sunday. And as we look forward again to September, in the will of God, being back at Sunday school again, even in accordance with the guidelines at that time. And also a wee word of thanks to all of the parents for sending in all the wee clips of their children taking part. I'm sure there was a few takes on some of the clips, but they're all very, very good, and we thank you for that. Word of thanks also to all of the teachers. We really appreciate all your help and all that you do in Sunday by Sunday preparing the Word of God for the boys and girls, and also for the helpers and the buses, etc. We really appreciate all your work and effort for the Sunday school. Also to God's people in the church here, we thank you for your prayers. So important to have the prayers of God's people, even for the work of the Sabbath school. And we thank you for that, and also for gifts that we've been given, even for the work. But also this morning, a special word of thanks to Mrs. Lorna Gilmer for all of her work and effort in getting all of the wee clips gathered up from the parents and for getting them all together. We thank Lorna for all that you have done, even in this task. And also a special word of thanks to Mr. John Clark for putting them all together. John has done an excellent job, and John, we want to thank you for all your work that you have done in this regard. Normally after Children's Day on the evening, we would always give out the prizes for all the children and the young people for all of that they've done during the year, and we intend to do that. So within the next 10 days, you expect a knock at your door, and God willing, we'll be there, and we'll have your prizes for all that you've done even in the past year. So just encourage you now to sit back and relax and enjoy the boys and girls taking part this morning. Thank you.
Who was the first man? Who was the first woman? Of what was Adam made? Where did God put Adam after he made him?
In a garden.
Who was the first man?
Adam.
Who was the first woman?
Eve.
Of what was Adam made?
That's of the ground.
Where did God put Adam after he made him?
Eden of garden.
What sin did Adam and Eve commit there?
The forbidden fruit.
What promise did God give them before driving them from the garden?
The promise?
Promise of the Saviour.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3, verse 16.
Thank you.
Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help.
My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth.
He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep.
The Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night.
The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul.
The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore.
Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world, that they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods.
Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully.
He shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah.
Thank you. The Junior Bible Class Bible Study, Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 16.
And seeing the multitudes, he went up into the mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying,
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted.
Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled.
Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So persecuted they the prophets which were before you.
Ye are the salt of the earth. If the salt have lost his savour, wherewith shall it be salted? Thenceforth it is good for nothing, but to be cast out and trodden under foot of men.
Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set upon a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house.
The Bible says in Matthew 5, verse 16, Let your light so shine before others, so they may see your good deeds, which will glorify your Father which is in heaven.
Thank you.
A special word of thanks to the boys and girls for taking part in our virtual Children's Day. We'd like to thank them sincerely. They've done a sterling job in getting those pieces together, practicing at home, and then sending them out to us. And a sincere thanks to those individuals who have collated all the videos and also presented us with the Children's Day programme. We would like to say a special word of thanks to all the boys and girls and young people. And I didn't realise just how many were gifted and talented. I'm only into the congregation a few weeks and then they had lockdown. And we're just getting back to some form of normality. But we're thankful to the Lord for the young people God has gifted to us here in Cumber and for their willingness to help us out. I have to say, sitting watching that, I was blessed in my own soul. I was greatly encouraged, and I do want to say a sincere word of thanks to the parents and to all the young people for the hard work they've put in. And we do appreciate that. And I believe the Lord will bless you for doing this little job of work for the Lord. And the Lord is no man or woman's debtor. And the Lord remembers that, and he is honoured and glorified in what you have done. And there has to be a reward for righteousness, and there has to be a blessing in serving the Lord. And may God richly bless you. And we pray for our children, for the lambs of this flock, for the young people, that God would be merciful to them and protect and richly bless them. So a big thank you from the session and congregation here, and we trust the Lord will bless you during the summer period, and hopefully you'll be able to get back to school again. I know you're missing it. Well, some are, some aren't, and you get to back to some normality. Just in connection with that, I would say that the government have allowed now places of worship to open. That means then we have to have procedures in place, social distancing, sanitization, and also the place deep cleaned. And I want just to assure you that as a session and committee, we have looked at this, we have met about this, we have discussed it, and we know exactly what we need to do. We were following all the regulations, and we want to set you at ease to know that when you come to this house for worship in the next few weeks or so, that you can come with some measure of assurance and confidence that the place will be cleaned and social distancing will be observed. In connection with that, we hope to open our church building on Tuesday this week. That's the 30th of June for our prayer meeting. It'll be in the church service here, so we want you to join with us. And we certainly can accommodate the ones that are coming and others who would like to join with us for the prayer meeting. We will still stream live our prayer meetings. That's the preaching part, not the praying part, but the preaching part, because we know there are some who are self-isolating, some who have concerns, and we understand that there'll be some not able to make it to the house of God. We would say to you, in keeping with the regulations, that if you're in that vulnerable category, or if you're self-isolating or shielding, or you have that letter and you feel concerned about coming out in public, well, we don't want you to feel guilty. There's no pressure for you to be in the house when it's opened. And I'm sure when things are right and you feel a little more confident, then you will join with us. We will miss you. We have to say that. We will be looking out for you and praying for you. But we understand that if you're in the vulnerable category, or if you feel in any way uneasy coming to the house and mixing inside with individuals, we understand that, and we do appreciate that that would be your desire. We will comply with that. But we will say to you, pray for us. And if you can be with us, please join us on Tuesday night for the first time that we're able to open the church building and to have all the procedures in place. So keep all these things in mind, please. And then next Lord's Day, in the will of the Lord, we'll be back to our two services in the morning and in the evening time. And we encourage God's people to join with us. We'll open the gallery. And if we need to, we'll be able to access the church hall and have folks gathered in there as well. So we understand there'll be some folks wanting to join with us, maybe some visitors as well. We want to assure you that we can accommodate those people. So we want you to join with us, and we trust that God will keep us safe in these days, that there'll be no outbreak of the COVID-19. God would preserve us as he has done as a congregation, and that he would bless you. And as we gather in the house of God once again for worship, as we gather together, we pray that the Lord will be among us and God will richly bless us. So do remember this Tuesday night at 8 p.m. our Bible study and prayer meeting. The change of time, by the way, we were at 7 during the lockdown. We're now moving to the normal time, which is 8 o'clock on Tuesday night, then 11:30 and 7 p.m. on the Lord's Day. Do gather with us. We're not meeting for the time of prayer, as we're keeping a room for a children's room, and we want you just to pray with us as you come to the service, and then we trust the Lord will be with us. We will look at things and we move things on as the time goes on, but we're thankful to the Lord, and we have to give glory to God. We have to give thanks to the Lord for the reopening of our church buildings, and we pray God will be with us and keep us safe in these days. I would like to say a word of thanks to Lorna and to David Coulson and to David Gilmore for the quiz on Thursday evening. I was scheduled along with my wife to join with you, but we were moving house on Thursday and it was just too much for us. But we understand that you had a very good time in the quiz. I'm not sure who won it because no results were given to me. But it's not about winning, as I said to you. It's just about beating the one that comes second. Now, it's competing and taking part is the main thing. But I understand it was a good time. The Book of Esther was studied and questions were set and they were answered very, very discreetly and wisely. And we're thankful to the Lord for fellowship, even through online ministry. So we do thank those individuals that helped us out in that regard. Could I say to you that there'll be no DVDs or CDs going out this week, but we will follow up with those ministries later on. So we trust that you will keep that in mind. Do remember some individuals, please, in your prayers. John Hamilton has ongoing need, Robert Green as well. And we want to pray for Brian Jackson. Brian's in hospital at present, and Brian has been diagnosed with cancer in the bone marrow. He's getting some treatment. His kidney function is very low. They've kept him in. Hopefully he will be out on Monday in the will of the Lord. But do remember Pat and Ruth, no visitors are allowed, not even family, into the church and into the hospital. And as a church family, we would like to remember Bram and Ruth and Pat Jackson in our prayers. And there's ongoing need for individuals. A young girl given to us by the name of Louise Tate. Do pray for Louise and for Craig and for that situation, as I said to you. Also Robert Green, Derek Preston. And then the ongoing need for the bereaved. Do you remember the Arnold family circles and the Beattie family circles? Remember Hartford and Phyllis today. And Kira and little Eve, Matthew's little girl. And also to Ford and Nicola and the whole family. We've been with them over these last number of months and especially in recent weeks, and we trust the Lord will go with them and be with them. And then would you remember, please, the family of that young boy in North Belfast, Noah Donoghue? Do you remember that family? We went to bed thinking about that family last night, woke up very disturbed about that family. We trust the Lord will draw near. And then the family of that young fellow who was killed in the accident in Dunluce Castle, just jumping off the rocks. And we trust the Lord will comfort these individuals, sir. We never know what a day will bring forth for ourselves. We never know what a phone call will mean for us or a knock at the door. So we've got to be praying for these individuals, for one day you and I will be standing in the need of much prayer and exceptional grace. The cousins' family circle as well, and the Abraham family circles in the loss, tragically, of individuals, and those who in our congregation over the lockdown period who have suffered bereavement, and others who have had anniversaries of bereavement. We trust the Lord will comfort you. And as we heard the young people saying, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So please keep all these things in mind. If there are any announcements that I have omitted, then I'll make those announcements this evening in the will of the Lord. Now, I want just to speak to the boys and girls. We're having a few technical issues. I'm not sure if we're able to get anything on screen. No? Oh, it is. It's up. Now, can I change it with this pointer, do you think? Well, I'll not do it yet because then I'll give away what I'm going to speak on. But I just want to look at a very interesting animal today. You see, the Bible is like a zoo. You can go through the Bible and you can encounter many animals in the Bible. I do believe that in the beginning of creation, before Adam and Eve fell in the garden, that all of creation was going to be God's Bible. Did you know that God's instruction book? Adam and Eve, if they had kept in the perfect state, they would not have had needed a Bible and the law of God the way we do, but creation would have been the instructor. They would have looked at the animals and learned from them. That God's plan in creation was to instruct through the animal creation humans. And Adam and Eve would have looked at the ant and they would have known to be busy. They would have learned the work ethic from the ant. They could have looked at the horse and they could have seen the strength, and they would have learned so much from all of these animals. And in many ways, the Bible is like a zoological garden. You're able to go through the Bible and you're able to see the animals. And of course, the Bible tells us to consider the animals. It says in the book of Job, consider the birds. It says in the Sermon of the Mount, consider the fowls of the air. And again, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, go to the ant, or consider the ant, thou sluggard, thine idle person. So I want to think about an animal today, and it's only mentioned 3 times in the Bible. Now, I'm going to ask you, could you guess what animal I'm thinking about? And I'm saying animal because I don't want to give away too much at this present time, but hopefully it hasn't come up here yet. No, it hasn't. But an animal in the Bible, but it's only mentioned 3 times in the Bible. I'll give you the books, but I'm not going to give you the reference, because then you'll look it up and you'll guess what it is. Only 3 times in your Bible this animal's mentioned. It's in the book of Job. I'm not going to tell you the chapter. It's in the book of Proverbs, and it's in the book of Isaiah. And it's only mentioned in those 3 places in the Bible and nowhere else. And yet there are over 600 different species of this animal, this creature, in the United Kingdom. And listen to this, there are over 40,000 different types of this animal in the entire world. Have you guessed what it is yet? Shout it out. I can't hear you, but your mum and dad can. They can be very big. In fact, there's one called Goliath. Do you know what animal it is yet? Well, they can be very small. In fact, some of these animals can only be 1 millimeter in length. They're found on every single continent on the world, in the world, except Antarctica. They wouldn't survive there. In fact, the Bible tells me that they're in kings' palaces. So there's one in Buckingham Palace. Now, it's not a corgi. It's not a dog. I wonder, I'm going to say something. They're in your house now. And right now, if you see one, most people, especially my wife, will see it and they'll run a mile. Ah, you know what it is, don't you? We're thinking about the spider. Hopefully this works, right? Let's just double check here. We're thinking about the spider today. You see, boys and girls, the spider teaches us so many lessons from Scripture. Now, while we've only 3 references, the book of Job, the book of Proverbs, the book of Isaiah, those references always relate to the deceit, to being ensnared. It speaks about the weaving of the web and being caught in that web. It talks about a man's hope being like a spider's web. That is, he's entangled in this false hope. It's a hypocrite's hope. And the Bible speaks about the spider laying hold, getting a grip and climbing in secretly and getting into the very king's palaces. And you couldn't get into Buckingham Palace. Oh, there are guards there. You couldn't climb over the fence. You couldn't dig underneath. But you would be found out and put in prison, maybe even shot, for all we know. But the spider takes hold and he enters into king's palaces and they don't even see him coming. And in many ways, the spider is like the devil. He's like sin, who deceive us and entrap and ensnare us. But I want to tell you something about the spider, some very interesting facts about the spider. First of all, I want you to think that the spider is clever. Now, I can't see the screen. My laptop's not working. So hopefully we'll have a man in front of me giving me the nod. The spider is clever. Boys and girls, let me tell you something about the spider. It's well known that the spider is one of the cleverest of all God's wonderful creatures. Did you know that? Everything about the weaving of the web has the hallmark of wisdom and order and great skill and intelligence. For an example of skill and patience and industry, And I want to tell you something, an exactness. The spider has no equal in all of God's creation. Now, there are a few other insects, or maybe you'll say a spider's not an insect and so on. But there are a few other insects that can spin a little bit of silk, the silkworm and another. But there's nobody and there's nothing like the spider. The spider is one of the cleverest creatures in all of God's creation. Now, I want you to listen to these facts, boys and girls. They're so interesting. Every tiny thread of silk that is spun by a spider is composed. Now, listen to this. If you were to look at one wee strand of a spider's web, and you were to either get your glasses on, or even you were to look underneath a microscope, you would see that little line of thread as one single thread. But I want to tell you something, it's not. Whenever the spider, and I have looked at this, I've seen the images of it, how it spins that web. I want to tell you something, it produces 4,000 single threads at one time. 4,000 single threads. And they're all brought and produced into one single thread. So when you see the spider's web and you see all the lines going across and even a circle and so on, and you can see all those lines going, one single thread, boys and girls, produced by the spider, he produces 4,000 of them. And as they're being brought out, he brings them together as one single thread, and it hardens when it hits the air. In the lower part of the spider's body, in its abdomen, it has what is known as little spinning machines. Some spiders have 2, some have 4, but most have 6 spinning machines on the lower part of their body. And each of those 6, like, listen to this, each of those 6 spinning machines literally has spinnerets. And inside each of those 6 spinning machines are 4,000 spinnerets. They produce single threads, and they come out, and the spider links them together as one thread. You know what they're telling us? If they could make a rope today made out of the silk that the spider produces, it would be the strongest rope the world has ever seen. And they've tried to produce it with silk, but they can't do it. You see, God created the spider in such a way with skill, and that web is beautifully spun. Think of it, 6 spinning machines. You would have to look under a microscope in order to see it, and there are images. You can see it electronically, and you can see all those little spinning machines, and you can even see the little threads coming out. It's an amazing creature. Each spinneret produces a single thread, a slender thread, inconceivable fineness, 4,000 in total. And very quickly, the spider blends all the threads together in one single thread, which hardens on contact with the air. Now, when each thread is formed, boys and girls, in this web, before the spider uses that, do you know what it does? It links it to a wall and then to itself. And the spider, literally after he finishes, he's so clever. He pulls on that thread. He tests the strength of it. And if that thread was to break, he then discards it and he makes another. And he tests every single. So when you look at a spider's web, don't look at a broken one. You look at a complete one early in the morning. The spider tests every single thread himself. How clever he is. He wants that web as strong as it can be. Now, here's an interesting thing. When the spider spins his web, he does a very interesting thing. Here's how clever he is. He coats each little thread of that web with sticky glue, so that whenever a fly or an insect comes along, unsuspecting, and flies toward the web, it sticks. Do you ever see a fly on a web and it's trying to get away? It can't get away. Do you know a wasp or a bee? And they're strong creatures, stronger than a fly. They're caught on it and they can't get away. You know, I put my fingers on spiders' webs, or you've caught your face on a spider's web and you can't get it off because they're so strong. Do you know, I was out power hosing one time, recently there in the house in Lisburn. And as I was power hosing, there were spiders' webs on the windows, and I power hosed them, and the power hose couldn't break the link of those webs stuck to the window. Now, here's an interesting thing, boys and girls. Didn't I tell you the spider's clever? You know what the spider does? He leaves one single thread with no glue on it. That's for his private use. When a fly gets caught in the web, he runs along. Wow. He runs along that single thread. And he sinks his fangs into the fly, injects poison into it, and then away he goes. Now, boys and girls, I did this. Now, if you're brave enough, I want you to try this sometime. And when you do it, I want you to come back to me and tell me that it works, because it does. I was in my shed one time and I saw a beautiful web. And I knew what to do. I put my finger very, very gently on the web and it stuck. And I just started to move my finger slightly like that. And it gave a movement on the web. And within a second, this huge spider, in fact, I tell you the truth, it scared me. This huge spider came flying out of its hole. Straight out. I only touched it. It thought it had caught a fly. It was waiting on its dinner, but it was my finger. But I can tell you something. I moved that finger away. He came out of that hole like this. And you could just see him coming. And he was a big, big monster. Well, it was only a wee one, but it scared the life out of me. But I want to tell you this. The spider is very clever, isn't he? And he spins the web, and he's the sticky glue, and he catches his prey. I told you the spider is, in the Bible, he's like the devil. He's like sin. I want to tell you that the devil spins a web, and he catches many sinners on it. And he catches many victims. He might spin a web of respectability. And how many people have been caught like that? They've been caught in the web of respectability, and they don't believe they're sinners. They don't believe they have sinned against God. They can't see much wrong in their life. And they don't get saved. They don't get right with God. They don't repent. They don't believe. And they don't are not born again because they think they're respectable. They're good enough for heaven. And how many people have been caught in that web of respectability? Some have been caught in the web and entangled in the web of sinful pleasure. And they enjoy their sin, but they're caught. They can't give up their drinking. They can't give up their smoking. They can't give up gambling. They can't give up their drink. They couldn't give up their bad company. They couldn't give up the nightclub and their way of life. And they're caught like a fly in the web. How true it is, boys and girls, that even a young boy or girl could be caught up in these things. When the Bible says in Romans 3:22-23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Would sin and pleasure compensate for the loss of the soul? There's some people who are caught up in the web of plenty of time. They say, sure, I could get saved later on. Sure, I could get saved in my deathbed. Sure, I could wait till the Lord comes and then I could repent and believe. Sure, I have plenty of time. And I know there are people like that. I have witnessed to some men in their own homes privately, and I've asked them, why are they not saved? And one man tells me, I have plenty of time. He actually tells me that. And listen, he's coming near 80 years of age, but he hasn't plenty of time. The Bible says, behold, now is the day of salvation. And some people are just caught up in that web of deceit. And what? There's a web called God is love. We saw that on the screen today. And God is love. But it's a type of ecumenical teaching today that tells us God loves everybody. And everybody's loved of God. And everybody, because God loves them, go to heaven. They don't need to be saved. They don't believe in hell. They don't believe there's a judgment day. They don't believe they need to be born again. And they're caught up in this web of plenty of time. I'm respectable. I've got my sinful pleasure. Or they believe God is love. You can just live as you please. And if you do a wee bit of good to someone, then God's happy. If you give a bit more money to charity, then God's pleased. It doesn't matter if you smoke, drink, or if you sin away your life. So long as you do a little bit of good, God's happy and God loves you. Well, how wrong that is, because God is love, but he's also just and he punishes sin. And he doesn't let sin or anything that defiles get into heaven. And hell's a place for those who don't repent and are not saved. And the Bible teaches that. Oh, the spider. He's very clever. Can I say something else to you, boys and girls? Hopefully it's going to come up. The spider's not only clever, but the spider is cruel. It's there. Spiders are nasty, ugly, scurry little monsters. And that's the truth. They have fangs. Do you know that? And they've jaws. And they've even poison for their victims. I want to tell you, boys and girls, here's what happens when a victim is caught on the sticky glue of the web. The spider runs out. Didn't I tell you? You should try it. If you're brave enough sometime, just gently touch the web and move. Now, don't knot too much, you'll break it. Just gently touch it. and the spider comes running out. And you remember he's got one strand that's no glue on it. That's for his private use. And when the fly or the insect is caught, he runs out. And here's what he does. He sinks its fangs into the victim and he puts poison into it. And then what does he do? He leaves the victim to wriggle away in agony. And he goes off to sleep. That's a fact. Until literally that victim is liquidized. And he goes off for a wee sleep. And then he feels hungry, and he comes out on his little private little thread. And he starts to literally suck the life out of that insect. How cruel the spider is. No wonder he's feared. I want to tell you, boys and girls, do we not see a likeness to the devil and to sin? You know, there's what is known as enticement here. The web. And there it glistens in the sun. And as well, it's silver in color. And it's attractive. And maybe insects are attracted. We don't really know. But why do they fly in? Do they just literally fly in and get caught? But you'd imagine they would fly over or fly around. No, but they seem to be attracted to the web. And the web doesn't have to be massive, the size of this building or the size of the front of your house. Some webs are only wee small webs, and they're between. There's a web, literally, that when I was in Lisburn, and from my letterbox to the door, that web was spun every single day in life, even though I broke it. It was spun. I had to clear away the cobweb before I could get my post, and obviously there was a spider living at the back of my post box, which was on the outside of the wall. I want to tell you, there's what is known as enticement here. There's a little poem I remember learning as a child, and it was something like this. "Will you come into my parlor?" said the spider to the fly. "Oh, 'tis the prettiest little parlor that ever you did spy." And that parlor's the web. And you know, sin and Satan tempt you. They entice you. They lure you in. They put temptation in your way. And boys and girls, you need to say no to sin, and you need to say no to the devil and no to temptation. Even if people say to you, because the devil works through them to lure you in, to entice you, to get you caught in the web in order that you're entangled. And there's not only enticement, but then there's entanglement, isn't there? One pleasure leads to another. Some people will tell you, the drug addict, it was the first little smoke of nicotine that introduced me to my drug habit. It was that little cigarette, as they say in my day, at the back of the bicycle shed in school. It was that little smoke that I had running about with my mates. It was that first taste of alcohol. I want to tell you, an alcoholic doesn't become an alcoholic overnight. It's the first drink, and if you never take the first drink, you'll never be an alcoholic. Did you know that? And you'll never be addicted to nicotine if you don't take the first smoke. So can you see what I'm saying? The first gamble, the first step toward bad company, boys and girls. It's like the spider, and he entices you. And it's like sin, it deceives you. And you're enticed, and then you're entangled. You're caught, and you can't break the habit. And then there's the end result. The spider puts the poison in and kills its victim. And so sin and the devil ultimately damn the soul in hell, boys and girls. And that's never God's intention for mankind. He never created mankind for hell. He created mankind, as we learned in the catechism, to glorify him and enjoy him, to be with him forever, and to live with him, to have eternal life. But look what sin has done. I want to tell you something else about the spider very quickly. Not only is he clever, not only do we see that he's cruel, but hopefully we want to see if this works here. Nope, we've lost everything, I think. But anyway, I'll move on. The spider is constant. That is, he never gives up, boys and girls. Do you know that the spider is constant? When I get this. There we go. Is that it? He's constant. He never gives up. Do you know how long it takes a spider to make its web? 1 hour. 1 hour exactly. And if you boys and girls were to come out and the spider has just finished and he's sweating, and then you take the web and break it all up, do you know what he'll do? He'll make it again. And if you were to come out an hour later and say, "That spider's made that," and you break it all up again, boys and girls, he'll make it again. And he'll make it again, and he'll make it. He never gives up. Do you know Robert the Bruce, whenever he was fighting against the English, Robert the Bruce felt he was defeated, and he sat down in depression. And as he sat down, he watched a spider build its web, weave its web. And as he watched the spider, some strands were broken. The wind perhaps blew and broke some of the web. And he kept working and he kept working. And he watched the perseverance of the spider. And he received inspiration. And he rose up from the doldrums and he led his army. Robert the Bruce was inspired by a spider. You know, the devil will never give up, young person. The devil will never give up seeking to destroy you and to entangle you and to tempt you and eventually ruin your soul in hell. That's why, young in life, you need to give your heart to Christ. You need to be sure the devil doesn't get you in his web or sin entangles you in its web of deceit, but rather you give your heart and your life to Christ, because the devil will never let you go. He will never give up. He will always be at you, just like the spider. And there's one final thought, and hopefully we'll be able to get this one. Nope, we've got nothing at all. We've got what is known as the spider is conquered. Now, we're thinking of sin and Satan here, boys and girls, aren't we? The spider is conquered. On the cross, our Lord Jesus Christ in his own body bore the penalty of our sin. And he paid the price for our sin, which was death. And with his eternal sorrows and suffering, he endured the wrath of God and the pain and the sorrow and misery we should have felt and our sin deserved, and Satan seeks to put us there in hell, were keenly felt in the body of God's dear Son. The Bible says in Isaiah 53:5, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. The Bible tells me in 1 Peter, doesn't it? In that chapter 3 and verse 18, Christ also suffered for our sins. And how true that is, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And our Lord Jesus Christ purchased eternal salvation. And he defeated and he conquered sin and Satan and even self. And he can save you today from the enticement of sin, the deceitfulness of sin, and the end result of the ruination of the soul in hell, because he died on the cross for our sins. I want to tell you, he shed his blood for to pay the price of sin. He finished the work needed to save you, boys and girls, and all you've got to do now is come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Admit that you're a sinner. Don't get caught up in that web of thinking you're a good person and you're good enough for heaven. Don't get caught up in that web of respectability. But listen to me. Come to Christ. He can set you free. And it doesn't matter if you're entangled in sin. It doesn't matter where you're entrapped in sin. It doesn't matter if the devil's oppressing you. I want to tell you, the spider's conquered. And Christ has defeated sin and Satan. And he can save today. He can set you free today. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter who you are. If you will come today to the Lord Jesus Christ, he will forgive your sin. If you believe he died for you, then tell him you're sorry for your sin. Aye, and then ask him to come into your heart and into your life to be your own and personal Savior. He will save you from your sin. For the Bible tells me that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, it's not going to come up, shall be saved. Whosoever, that means you, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. Isn't a spider an interesting creature? He's clever, just like the devil and sin, very deceitful, but he's cruel. Sin and Satan want to destroy and ruin your soul in hell. And he's constant, he'll never give up. But here's the good news, he's conquered. And that spider, a type there of the devil and sin, has been defeated at Calvary. And all you've got to do is come. Will you do that? Will you come to Christ now? Will you trust the Savior as your Savior? Will you tell the Lord you're sorry? And would you ask Christ into your heart to be your own and personal Savior? Thank you, boys and girls, for listening. May God richly bless you now. Father in heaven, we thank thee for today. We thank thee for our virtual online Children's Day, for the boys and girls and young people that have taken part. We thank thee, Lord, for help given to them. And we pray you'll watch over them during these summer months and their return again to this house and to school. And we pray, Lord, that the virus will be eradicated. We pray, Lord, that it will be so weakened that we'll be able to get back to normality. And then our Sunday school and our children's work and our young people and young adults and all the work and outreach, Lord, and various aspects of church life will be back to some form of normality. Keep us keep us all safe, Lord. Keep COVID-19 out of our fellowship, out of all our churches and congregations and other places. Watch over our National Health Service workers and others that are still on the front line, key workers too. So, Lord, be with us. Remember the sick and the sorrowing. We commend them to God. Be with us now and bless the word to our hearts. Speak to the boys and girls and save young lives, we pray. For, Lord, we can truthfully say, young lives matter. All lives matter to God. So answer prayer in Jesus' precious and most worthy name. Amen and amen.